Open your Bibles, if you would, please, and let's look in Isaiah chapter number 55 for a moment. Isaiah chapter 55. If you don't have a Bible, you're welcome. Just kind of look up here. We'll quote most of the scriptures that are used today. And a good church always uses the Bible. Church is not the pastor's opinion. It is not politics. It's not just rehashing the news. It's God's word people come to hear. So two verses in Isaiah 55. If you'd be so kind to turn your cell phones on vibrate, electrocute, or mute, or something like that, that would be a help. Isaiah 55, verse number 8. And God says to the prophet Isaiah, "For my thoughts are not as your thoughts." How many of you have ever realized that God doesn't always think like you think? And he says, "Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." I want to speak on this subject for just a few moments today. God has a plan. God has a plan. Amen. And God's plan is greater than your plan. Yes. And so, Father, bless the brief time we have. Thank you for our hearts being stirred by music about you. And we pray that your word would now help us make changes in our lives so that we'd not leave the same but different, comforted, and closer to you. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. There are three thoughts I want to give you this morning. God's plan of salvation. It has always been God's plan to redeem man. Back up way back to Adam and Eve, when they sinned and took the forbidden fruit that separated the human race and every human being from God. God is holy. He cannot be around sin. So God began to be in pursuit. God is holy. He cannot just forget sin. There has to be a payment made for sin. Either we pay the payment, eternity in hell, or some innocent person has to pay the payment. And he did. So the Old Testament is God saying, "He's coming. The Savior's coming." It was forecast in Genesis 3:15 that one day the Son of God would put his foot on Satan's head. He would bruise Jesus' heel, but that was the forecast. Old Testament, he's coming. The Gospels, he's here. The rest of the New Testament, he's coming back again. And so that's always been God's plan. You say, why did God make me? What is his plan for my life? If you're here and you do not know, heaven's your home, God's plan for you, he's chasing you down. He's trying to reach you and introduce himself to you so he can forgive you and be your personal savior. That's his plan. He says, God is not willing. Will means plan. Willing that any should perish. He doesn't want anyone to miss heaven. What is God's plan? It's to get every one of us saved. Someone said God thought it, salvation. Satan fought it. Jesus bought it. The Holy Spirit brought it. The Bible taught it. And bless God, I caught it. I like that a whole lot. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God's plan of salvation, what a great plan. It's eternal. It's not about us, it's about him. But for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a plan. What a God that we have. Why would he even love sinners that rebelled and broke his commands? Because he's God, and God is love. I want to say, secondly, God has a plan for the ages. The Bible says, it says in Ephesians, it says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness through Jesus Christ. Brother Don just sang about Jesus coming back. So here's his plan, and don't drown as I cover this quickly. This is his plan for the ages. We keep asking, what's next? There's the war in Israel. There's the war in our White House. There's the war in Congress. And we got wars all over our nation. There's the war at the border, and there's the war over the trial. And there's we have a lot of wars in our own nation. And now we've got China. We've got all these countries upset with our nation. What's next? Well, the next thing, like Brother Don's saying, there'll be a trumpet that will sound. It'll be an angel that will sound it. I'll hear it. If you're a Christian, you'll hear it. If you're old and have hearing aids, you won't have to turn them up. It'll be loud enough to hear. And then our feet will get light. We call it the rapture. In the Bible, it's called the second coming of Christ or the second advent. Immediately in midair, our bodies will change and become perfect. It'll look like us, 1 Corinthians 15, resemble us, but the perfect, updated, refined model that never gets old and doesn't have tear ducts and will never be disappointed. And one second we're here, the next second we're standing on those streets of gold and we're looking around, we're seeing our Savior. We've talked about Him for years. We've talked about Him 55 years. We hadn't even seen Him yet. But we won't have to have anyone in heaven say, "That's Jesus." We'll know Him. He'll be the first one to greet us at the golden shore. He'll greet us there before our relatives do. We'll see the nail prints in His hand for all eternity. He's the only one without the perfect body to remind us forever, "This is what I did so you could get up there." What a plan. We'll gather around the throne, and God for 7 years will reward us. It's called the marriage supper of the Lamb, or you could call it the judgment seat of Christ. He has watched every one of us. He will not reward us for the bad we've done. If we're a Christian, He will not bring up the past. Is anyone glad about that? He'll not bring up any of your sin. You may say, "Lord, I'm sorry about the sins about." He'll say, "What sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore." But we'll be rewarded for the service we rendered Him after we accepted Him. We don't work our way to heaven, but after we get saved, we love the Lord, so we want to work on the way to heaven. Get that? So He will reward us. It's unbelievable. We ought to just serve Him, period. He will reward us. He'll give us a crown if we've been faithful, a crown if we have suffered, a crown if we're a soul winner. And for one moment in eternity, we have an opportunity to cast that crown, a crown at Jesus' feet and say, "Thank you. I don't deserve anything. It's all about you. You get the glory." And we'll worship Him. 7 years it'll take. And you know what I'm looking forward to? Everything any of you have ever done for God that no one ever saw, God will bring it up. He's going to bring all the good up that you've done, the suffering you've suffered, the broken hearts, the weeping yourself to sleep at night no one ever saw, the burdens you carried, the kids you raised, your single parents just making it, those who've suffered with tremendous illnesses, the kids raised without a dad, all the pressures and all the temptation, all the things you've been through, God's going to say, "I saw that, and here's your reward for it." And then He said, during those 7 years, we're up in heaven, it'll be all hell breaking loose here on earth. It's called the tribulation. Tribulum means spanking something with a stick. God will be judging this wicked world, and we deserve judgment right now. America deserves judgment right now. The way we've turned our back on God, turned our back on the Bible, the killing of the innocents, and so many things. And so He'll judge all the nations. They'll turn against each other in wars. There'll be nuclear bombs. It'll be like the stars are falling. There'll be pestilence, starvation. There'll be disease. It will be a terrible time. Then at the end of those 7 years, we come back with Jesus Christ. Here's a part I don't like: on horses. I'm not a horse person. I got dizzy riding those stick horses around the house when I was a kid. We'll be on horses and we'll leave heaven and fly all the way back to the earth. As He does this great battle called the Battle of Armageddon, it won't be swords and knives and guns. He will speak and destroy the enemy nations by His word. Then the Bible says He'll do a miracle and the world will become like the Garden of Eden again. There'll be no mosquitoes. There'll be no cockroaches. There'll be no danger. There'll be no disease. And we'll live, and Jesus will reign as King of Kings. You won't have to vote on Him every 4 years. He'll be King for 1,000 years. He'll make the laws, and everyone will want to obey the law. There'll be no riots. There'll be no lawlessness. There'll be no thievery. There'll be no more smash and grab. It will be just like when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. It's his plan for the ages. After that, there'll be a quick revolt of Satan against Jesus. He will win. Jesus will win. Then there'll be a judgment of all the unsaved people. It's called the White Throne Judgment, Great White Throne. All the people that are in hell and all the people that turned their back on Jesus and said, I don't want you as my Savior. God will judge them according to every one of their wicked deeds. He'll bring it all up. There'll be a judgment for everyone that's ever lived who's unsaved. And then God will cast them into the lake of fire along with the devil himself. Then at that time, a city called the New Jerusalem, heaven, will come down to the earth. You say, why the earth perfect? Why the city perfect? For the city slickers to enjoy it and for the country folks to enjoy it. Okay, forget it. Okay, some of you are not going to enjoy heaven at all. You're not going to smile. You're just going to be in the corner and saying, is this all there is? Is this all there is? I thought it would be greater than this. Oh, it's going to exceed your wildest dreams. Then the Bible says, we'll rule and reign with him forever and ever. I'm going to spend eternity with that lady right there. I'm not pointing to Arden either. I'm pointing to this young, good-looking one right down here. We're going to be together for all eternity. I got 5 kids, got 14 grandkids. We're going to be dancing the streets of gold. We could just talk about it for all day. And it won't be long. It's real. It's not Disney. It's not made up. Someone went high at Woodstock and wrote about this. It's in the Bible. So God has a plan of salvation. God is big. God's got a plan for the ages. And for those of you that are watching the news all the time, you're all upset at the government, mad at everybody, and biting your fingernails. God's got it all under control. God's got a plan. He wins. Evil does not win. He wins. And then I want to say this and park on this for just a few moments. God has a plan for your life. You know, I'm glad he has the plan of salvation. I accepted Jesus 54 years ago, but I don't think about that every day. I'm glad he's got a plan for the ages, but I'm trying to kind of take care of my life right now. I'm focused on his plan for me. The Bible says this, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The moment you become a Christian, God starts shining his light or his truth in your path so you see what the next step is. Those of you that drive at night, you turn your headlights on. Someone probably knows. I don't know how far the headlights shine, 150 feet, 200 feet. They only shine so far. You drive that far and they shine further. You drive that far. If you're heading to Texas, they don't shine all the way to Texas. So God just gives you enough light to direct your path. Well, Pastor, what am I supposed to do with my life? Here's Brother Don got saved when he was 12 at that Johnny Pope revival. What am I supposed to do now? God will guide you. Well, let me show you what to do tomorrow. How about I show you what to do this week? Get to church and read your Bible. God just guides. See, me, one of the many negatives I have is I want to know the whole picture, the whole scoop at once. We're going on vacation. What's the motel? What's the food taste like? How long is it going to take? Then I got... Man, I want to know it all. Just trust me. We're going on vacation. What else? God means it for good. God's plan for your life, get you saved, and then show you a little light at a time. Jeremiah, he had a plan for him. Jeremiah 1:5, it says, before I formed you in your mother's belly, I knew thee and sanctified thee to be a prophet unto the nations. God looked down at Jeremiah and said, I've got a plan for your life. Little Moses was supposed to be aborted. And his mother said, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to raise this child. She put him in a little ark of bulrushes. And he was drawn out. They called his name Moses. God had a plan for his life. David was watching the few little sheep on the hill. But God said, no, no, no. That's the king of Israel. God had a plan for his life. I want to tell you, young people, God's plan is big. It's bigger than you ever thought it could be. When I was in eighth grade, we used to have these National Geographic type shows on. And there was something called, you kids wouldn't know, but it was called Jacques Cousteau. The Underworld Adventures of Jacques Cousteau. He spoke French. And they would video them finding the migration of the great whites or the starfish, why they're not in Australian water. And they would scuba dive. And I said, that's what I want to be when I grow up. I want to be an oceanographer. I want to scuba dive and look at all the fish. That's my goal. You know, God had something a little bit bigger for me than looking at fish and scuba diving. Though I did scuba dive once for 10 minutes. When I came up, I said, I'm done. He goes, is there something wrong? I said, here's what's wrong. I'm not doing this anymore. I did it. I checked it off my list. I'm out of here. And so that was it. God's got a big plan for your life. He is good. His plan is good. And his plan is greater than your plan. I want to say this. His plan also has a place. When Elijah was following God's plan, God says, I want you to go over there by this brook, and I'm going to feed you there. Later on, the brook dried up. He said, I want you to go to this widow woman's house. I'll feed you there. God has a place. My place at this time, I believe till I die, is Napa, California. This is where God has led me. Of all places, never even heard of this place till we moved here. This is his place. When you're in the place he has you, he'll give you the provision he wants you to have. He said, I'll feed you there. If you're not being fed, you have to ask yourself this question. Am I there? Am I where God wants me? Spiritually, emotionally, physically. He has a there. Years ago, Joe Montana was in a ball game and he came back. It's when Jerry Rice played with him. Jerry Rice went out for a pass and turned that way, and Montana threw the ball way over here. Jerry Rice got back in the huddle and he said, hey, Joe, I was way over here. You threw the ball way over here. Joe Montana said, I threw the ball where you were supposed to be. Sometimes we ask God, how come I'm not being blessed? And God says, I threw a lot of blessings right up. That's where you were supposed to be. Sometimes it's us. You say, I love Jerry Rice. Now, look, you're way off the subject here. It'll be fulfilling. And I want to say this too. Sometimes God's plan is not without bumps. My wife, 80 days in the hospital. Ladies in this room with cancer right now. Sometimes his plan, it's not our plan. There'll be bumps. There'll be illnesses. There'll be setbacks. There'll be broken hearts. There'll be burials. There'll be grief. Sometimes it's not always easy, but his plan is always best because he never forsakes us in his plan. I want to say this too. You say, well, Pastor, how do you, what if you got away from his plan? You hadn't been in church in years. And like one person told me, I got mad at God. I've not read the Bible or talked to him in 10 years. What do? You get back. You know, I have this little thing on my phone. What do you call it? It gives you directions. It's not Google. Was it? What? Get out of demons. No, I got something in my phone. I say, Siri, find this address. And it'll say, okay, turn on Linda Vista Street. Go. Sometimes I don't pay attention. I take the wrong turn. Here's what it says. Recalculating. Turn here. Recalculating. You know what God has? You get away from God and you get lost. God says, recalculating. He doesn't self-destruct, blow your car up. He said, recalculating. There's always a way to get back to being blessed and close to the Lord, no matter how far you've strayed. Recalculating. The Holy Spirit says, I'm recalculating. That's why sometimes we get to church and he says, turn here. Stop doing this. Start doing this. He's recalculating. We have 5 minutes. Pastor, how do I find out his plan for me? I want to give you these thoughts quickly. Number one, get saved. That's his number one plan. If you don't know you're going to heaven, get saved today. He says, my sheep know my voice and they follow me. You're never going to hear his voice and follow him if you're not one of his. The moment you receive him, you will be. Number two, just a step at a time. Just a step at a time. One step, Psalm 119, 133, I followed his steps. When Brother Don and I were at camp, Pot of Gold Camp in Comfort, Texas, one night, I walked the aisle. For 6 months, I felt like God wanted me to preach and do that full time. Not just be in secular work, but be a preacher, a missionary, something like that. I remember after 6 months, I said, okay, I'll do it. I walked in the front of the church service at the end. I had him announce my name. Mike Ray says God is calling him to preach. I was 15 years of age. I was not the specimen of a man I am now. I had black hair back then. I had chipped teeth, stuttered, ugly black glasses, corrective shoes, the whole thing. But that's all I knew. I'm a preach. I didn't know if I'd be a missionary to Africa. I didn't know if I'd be a Christian coach in a Christian school. I didn't know if I'd be a professor at a Bible college. I didn't know if I would be an assistant pastor. I didn't know if I'd be a bus director in some church. I didn't have any of the details. I just had the big plan, preach. Amen. Sometimes that's what God does to you. He gives you the big plan. He says, I'll give you the details later. Number next, you have to be yielded. Years ago, I went to speak at a church in Lancaster, Brother Chapel's church. One of his staff picked me up. I said, I don't know you. He said, my name's Jerry Furso. I said, nice to meet you. Where you from? He told me a story. I said, how long you been on this church staff? He said, today's my first day. He said, you're my first assignment. I said, I'm sorry. And I hope it gets better from there. And I said, so what did Pastor hire you to do at the church? What's going to be like your position? He says, I don't know. He didn't tell me yet. I said, you left where you were, moved your family all the way to Lancaster to work on a church staff, and you don't know what you'll be doing, why he's hiring you? He said, no. He said, I'd do anything to be on Paul Chapel's staff. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had that attitude? Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'd be anything to work for you. You just fill in the detail. I trust you. You're going to treat me good. I'll be great. Anything to work for you. You're going to have to be yielded. What else? We got 2 minutes. We have to hurry. Acknowledge him in all that you do. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. I'll say this, obey what you do know. You know, sometimes I meet people and they have kind of glassy eyes. You ever meet people like that? Maybe they're on drugs, I don't know. But I'll meet people and they'll say, I had this vision last night. Usually I'll say, what did you eat before you went to bed? Was it jalapenos? Was it a lot of pepper? What kind of pizza was it you ate? And they'll tell me all these visions that the angels told them. But I figured this out. Why would God give you anything special if you're not already paying attention to what he's already written? You want to obey what you already know. I know this. You said, well, what's God's plan for my life? Get saved. What's God's plan for my life? Read this book a lot. What's his plan? Pray a lot. What's his plan? Get to church. What's his plan? Live right. What's his plan? Tell others. What's his plan? Give. Be generous. He's got a lot of this. I want to say to the young people, the sooner you yield to his plan, the better. Yes, amen. I've never met anyone who on their tombstone, I've been to a lot of funerals, where it said, I wish I'd have sinned more. I wish I'd have gotten saved later. Pistol Pete Maravich, where many of the fancy moves come from, around the back, between the legs, all these crazy passes. First man to make $1 million in the NBA. Pistol Pete, a lot of ups and downs and addictions in his life after he became a pro. Then accepted Christ when he was age 40. He just lived several years after that. Passed away on a pickup basketball game outside. He said this, I would have given all my fame and accolades had I had met Jesus Christ as my Savior earlier. Any swimmers here, you know how to swim? That's why some of you have never been baptized, huh? I'm afraid of that water, Pastor. You know, you could drown. When I was a kid, it was not illegal to have a rope where you would have it hanging on a tree next to a river. Group of kids, they didn't check the water for disease and bugs. You didn't have to have a helmet. It's back when kids could be kids. And you would swing out on the river and then drop and splash. Then it was your job to take the bottom of the rope, usually in a knot, swing it to the guy on the shore. And it was his job to grab it and swing out. And it's always someone who's chicken. They wouldn't let go and they'd do this and do this. But one thing about that rope, when they threw it to you and it was your turn, you better grab it the first time. Because if you didn't grab it the first time, it swings towards you again, but not as close. And such is the will of God. God only gives you so many swings. And God's Holy Spirit says to every young Christian, "Here, all right, are you paying attention? Here it comes, the opportunity to change this world for me. Here we go. There's the rope." You got to be paying attention. I think Don grabbed it when he was about 12. I think I did too. I've never regretted serving the Lord the last 54 years of my life. Grab the rope. Grab the rope. Serve him while you're young. Don't wait till you're 90 and on your deathbed. Then I'll give my life to Christ. He'll still save you. But what a wasted life. The adventure and the excitement is grabbing it when you're young. His plan is greater than your plan. I'll say this. Prepare. Well, why do you read the Bible? I'm not going to be a pastor. Just prepare. Abraham Lincoln always had stacks of books around him. And he was asked, "Do you expect you're going to be president of the United States or something?" Lincoln said this, "I do not know what God has planned for me, but I aim to be prepared for whatever he has." I'm glad he was. He helped save a nation that was dividing. I want to say this as well. Serve him with the opportunities you have. "Well, I can't teach, but could you drive a van?" "Well, I can't preach, could you drive a bus?" "I can't sing, could you change a diaper in the nursery?" "I don't have an outgoing personality, can you smile and pass out a bulletin?" See, all of us have something we can do. It was Jason Russell, he told me the story. He was going to be a missionary to Papua, is that how you say it? Papua, New Guinea. He's going to be a missionary and go to that real remote island and start churches. He told his pastor, "Brother Fisher, I'm going to be a missionary to New Guinea, and I'm preparing. Can you give me a class to teach so I can learn the ministry? A class of adults, because I'm going to be reaching adults and families." And the pastor said, "I'm sorry, Jason, but we only have a second grade boys class available." He said, "Well, I'm not teaching kids, I'm teaching adults. Don't you have an adult class?" He said, "We have a second grade boys class." Jason Russell took that class, started visiting the parents, teaching that class, praying for those kids. Many of them got saved and started pouring his heart into that class. Isn't it interesting? When he finally landed in Papua New Guinea as a missionary, he found out everyone on the island, you ready, only had a second grade education. God was preparing him for the people that he would reach. God's plan is greater than our plan. I want to say this as well. Be sober. Be sober. I don't like driving places I've never been. Here's the little Google Maps, and sometimes you go into a zone and it's blank. But I know this, when I'm getting close to an exit, it's always like this, shh, I'm looking for an exit. Shh, be quiet. I don't want to miss the exit. Sometimes when God's ready to exit you to do something special for him, you don't want to miss the exit. You want to be real sober. Don't make flippant decisions. "Well, we're moving to Utah." "Well, how long you been thinking about that?" "I don't know, we saw a commercial on TV last night." What? You want to be sober. I want to say this too. Sometimes it's revealed in time. Remember that one incomplete miracle Jesus did? He touched the blind man. He said, "What do you see?" He said, "Men are like trees walking." In other words, it was real fuzzy. The only incomplete miracle Jesus ever did. Then a little bit of time passed. Jesus touched him again. He goes, "I see clearly now." Sometimes it'll take a little time to make his plan clear. You that are a little bit older that have been a Christian for a long time, you can do it a little bit like me and look over your shoulder. "Now I see what God was doing. I didn't see it at the time. I see what he was doing." We've got some neighbors that would never let us share the gospel with them. Some did, some did not. My wife was in the hospital 80 days. We wrote that book, "See You on the Other Side." The neighbors have read her book, and it's got the gospel in it. Sometimes it gets clear with time. What is God doing? And then I'm done with this. We're out of time. They had a little song years ago called, "I Want to Do Thy Will, O Lord. I want to do Thy will, O Lord. Take me, break me, mold me and make me. I want to do Thy will, O Lord." His plan is greater. I'm done with this. It's a great little illustration. Ladies, put your shoes back on. Say, "How'd you know?" "I could tell." I'm told in Ohio there's a courthouse where the roof, the rain that falls off one side of the roof goes into little puddles and streams that eventually ends up in the Mississippi River and finally into the Gulf of Mexico, where the rain on the other side ends up going into streams and tributaries and into the Great Lakes. So when it rains, one puff of wind eventually divides one drop of water thousands of miles from the other drop. What's that mean? Every decision's big. Every decision's big. What college? Who to date? Who to marry? What ministry? What church you attend? Selling out to God. Every decision's big. He's got a great plan for you. So let me ask you, have you figured it out yet? Would you follow it if he did show it to you? Have you left his plan? Come on back. There's plenty to do. He'll take you back. Is he recalculating? Give him a little time. He's got a great big plan. Let's follow it. You'll be happier for it. And if you're here today without Jesus Christ and you don't know him as your Savior, today is the day you want to give your heart to him. You'll never regret it.